Welcome to Hakol Radio's Top 3 segment, where we discuss the top 3 news stories of the day. Hakol Radio, powered by the Muncie Mavasser and broadcasting live from Schlurko Studios in Muncie, New York. Number 1.
The U.S., along with Qatar and Egypt, views the current halt in discussions on a hostage deal as merely a, quote, temporary pause in the negotiation process, with expectations for talks to recommence shortly. Quote, the Israelis have returned for consultations. There remains a consensus to continue the dialogue, so we believe the process hasn't concluded. However, a contrasting perspective comes from a senior Israeli official involved in negotiations who portrayed the impasse as significantly more critical, suggesting that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the mediators from the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt underestimated Hamas's steadfastness in their demands. Many assumed Hamas's demands were not earnest and that the mediators could coerce them into a settlement. That didn't transpire. This misunderstanding should have been obvious from the beginning, yet it seems some did not wish to acknowledge it, the Israeli official remarked. Israel attributed Hamas's hardened stance in talks on a hostage deal to the Biden administration's decision not to veto the UN Security Council resolution that called for a ceasefire and the release of hostages. According to Netanyahu's office, quote, the resolution emboldened Hamas, showcasing their refusal to engage in meaningful negotiations and highlighting the detrimental impact of the UN Security Council's actions. Despite various compromise attempts by the U.S., Hamas remained unyielding, using the resolution to justify their position. Following the reports of the breakdown in the ceasefire and hostage release negotiations, a senior Israeli official gave a status update on Israel's delegation, which maintained representatives for the talks in Qatar. Contrary to what was claimed in some local channels yesterday, he said, the senior echelon left Doha, but Israeli representatives in the middle echelon remained. As for the crisis with the Americans, a senior Israeli official told I-24 News that despite the public statements, it is better to examine the actions and not the words. The source also mentioned the anticipated military operation in Gaza's southernmost city of Rafah and the United Nations Security Council resolution passing, to which Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu canceled a delegation to Washington. Even though Israeli Strategic Affairs Minister Ron Dermer's delegation was canceled at this point, the Israeli official said Defense Minister Yoav Gallant is the one who will manage the operation, and he's in the U.S. and is conducting the discussions on the issue. The chief spokesperson for the Israeli military also addressed a concern, saying the military-level relationship was experiencing unprecedented cooperation and coordination. Magen David Adom paramedics reported a 25-year-old man was killed, Rachmana Litzlan, in Kiryat Shmona during a rocket barrage that was launched on Wednesday morning, March 27th, from Lebanon toward northern Israel. Paramedics rescued the man from the rubble of a building that was directly hit, but he was unfortunately pronounced dead at the scene. Israeli media reported that the man killed was Zahar Bashara, a Jewish resident from the Golan Heights village of Ein Kinya. Immediately following the red alert sign, we heard explosions. We searched the area and saw thick smoke rising from one of the factories. We immediately searched the vicinity and a 30-year-old worker was brought to us, conscious and uninjured. He told us that his friend was still trapped in the building. Mada paramedics described the incident. Quote, large numbers of IDF police and fire department forces arrived at the scene and following complex extrication found the 25-year-old, not a local resident, who was unconscious with no pulse and not breathing, with a severe multi-system injury. We unfortunately had to pronounce him dead at the scene, and all of the areas that we searched had no casualties, the paramedics concluded. So far, 18 people have been killed by Hezbollah fire in northern Israel since the start of the war. 11 of the killed were IDF soldiers, Rachman al-Litzlan, and 7 more were civilians. The terrorist organization Hezbollah took responsibility for over 30 rockets launched towards the northern Israel, across the Upper Galilee and Golan Heights, saying, quote, we fired dozens of rockets at the settlement Kiryat Shmona and at Commando Brigade 769. The terrorist organization said the barrage was in retaliation for an IDF strike in Lebanon on late Tuesday, March 26th, in which 7 terrorists were killed, including a central figure associated with the Hagama Islamia organization. The strike targeted a military building in the Al-Habriya area in southern Lebanon. Overnight, the IDF also launched north of the Baalbek region, deep in Lebanon, in response to the launchings from the country's territory towards the Meron area in Israel's upper Galilee region. After almost 6 months of conflict, Israeli military officials report that while they may not have full control over Gaza, they have secured freedom of movement throughout the area. IDF forces have established positions along the entire perimeter of the enclave and created a corridor that splits Gaza into northern and southern sections. Kobi Michael, a former leader of the Palestinian desk at Israel's Ministry for Strategic Affairs and currently a senior researcher at the Institute for National Security Studies in Tel Aviv, stated, quote, "We are now in the third phase of the war. According to the IDF, the number of divisions stationed within Gaza has decreased to 2 from 5 at the height of the conflict. Israeli soldiers alongside military vehicles were seen near the Gaza border on March 10th. Michael explained that the IDF has shifted its focus to more targeted operations against locations believed to be used by Hamas for regrouping, including the Al-Shifa medical complex in Gaza City. IDF spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari officially confirmed in a press conference that Marwan Issa, the deputy commander of Hamas's military wing, had been killed in an Israeli airstrike carried out in the central Gaza Strip earlier this month.
Number 2.
On Tuesday, March 26, the head of Russia's most influential security service claimed Ukraine, the United States, and Britain had a hand in orchestrating an attack on a concert hall near Moscow that resulted in at least 139 fatalities. Ukraine has consistently refuted any involvement in the incident that occurred last Friday, labeling the Russian allegations as, quote, fabrications. The United Kingdom dismissed the claims as utter nonsense. Responsibility for the mass shooting was claimed by the Islamic State group, which had previously attempted to establish dominion over vast regions in Iraq and Syria. Alexander Bortnikov, the director of the Federal Security Service, the FSB, in Russia, stated on television, quote, "We believe the operation was orchestrated by Islamist radicals with the assistance of Western intelligence services." He further implicated the Ukrainian special services, alleging their direct involvement and claiming Kiev facilitated the training of Islamist radicals in an unspecified location in the Middle East. When questioned about the involvement of Ukraine and its allies, the United States and Britain, in the concert hall attack, Bortnikov affirmed that, quote, "We believe so. At least the information we have at this point suggests this." Bortnikov, who's led the FSB since 2008, mentioned that Russia has not yet pinpointed the individuals who specifically orchestrated the deadliest attack on Russian soil in 2 decades, but he promised retaliatory actions. In a related development, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov made controversial remarks about Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, referring to him as, quote, "a peculiar kind of Jew," while attempting to link the terrorist attack claimed by the Islamic State group to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, a conflict where Russia has faced accusations of committing acts of terrorism. Peskov elaborated, quote, "There is a peculiar kind of Jew over here," in reference to Zelensky, asserting that he, quote, "exhibits sympathy and alignment with the nationalist spirit that characterizes the leadership of the Kyiv regime.
Number 3.
The search for 6 construction workers who were reported missing following the catastrophic incident in Baltimore, where a large cargo ship collided with the Francis Scott Key Bridge, resulting in its collapse into the Patapsco River, was officially called off late Tuesday, March 26, by the Coast Guard. Rear Admiral Shannon Gilreath, in a somber announcement at a news conference as evening approached, expressed a grim outlook of finding the workers alive, highlighting the frigid water temperatures and the elapsed time since the bridge's collapse that occurred overnight. The incident began when the 985-foot cargo ship named the Dali struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge shortly after leaving the port of Baltimore in the early hours of Tuesday. The collision was attributed to a, quote, "complete blackout experienced by the vessel," as reported by Clay Diamond, the executive director of the American Pilots Association, who received information from the State Harbor's Pilots Group. In the wake of the disaster, investigations were launched to determine the cause, with the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, taking the lead. Jennifer Homendy, the NTSB's chairwoman, outlined the primary areas of focus for the investigation, which include examining the ship's recorders, the possibility of the anchor being dropped, and reviewing past inspection results. Additionally, the construction and maintenance of the bridge, especially the protection of its pylons or piers, one of which was hit by the ship, will undergo scrutiny for safety measures like fenders. The recovery efforts were described as challenging by both Admiral Gilreath and Colonel Roland L. Butler of the Maryland State Police, citing the unpredictable currents and hazardous debris. Despite these difficulties, Colonel Butler pledged a continued effort to recover the bodies to provide closure for the families of the missing workers, with plans to resume diving operations early Wednesday morning, March 27th. Further complicating the incident, the Mayday signal from the Dolly allowed officials to hold traffic on the bridge in time, a move President Joe Biden credited with saving lives. He also committed federal resources to the bridge's reconstruction efforts, since the bridge is under federal dominion. Despite the Mayday, the construction crew remained on the bridge, resulting in two workers being rescued from the water and one hospitalized who was later released. All crew members on the Dolly, including two experienced harbor pilots guiding the vessel, were safe and accounted for. The ship flying the Singapore flag had departed for Colombo, Sri Lanka, and was not reported to have sustained any injuries on board. The maneuver attempted by one of the harbor pilots to avert the crash by turning the vessel and dropping the anchor was ultimately unsuccessful. An inspection of the Dolly conducted last year identified a deficiency in its propulsion and auxiliary machinery, specifically concerning its gauge and thermometers. This inspection, carried out in Chile, has come under scrutiny in light of the recent events, though the ship's owners have not commented on the report. This is a developing story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Top 3 segment live on Hakol Radio, and have a great day.